Good morning. We're going to continue our study in 1 Peter. As we've seen before, he starts out 1 Peter 1 about all of our wonderful privileges that we have. How that he renewed us, he gave us a living hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He gives us an inheritance that's undefilable, that fadeth not away. It's reserved for us in heaven, guarded by God through our faith. Our salvation is assured. He gives us the privilege in 6 through 9 to suffer with Jesus that we might share with him in drawing the lost to Christ. He's preached to us a message that through the whole time of the Old Testament, the prophets prophesied. They didn't understand what they were saying. Even angels desired to look into the suffering of Christ and the glory that followed afterwards. And then we get to verse 13. And he starts that by saying, wherefore? Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. And he says in verse 14, as children of obedience, not fashion yourselves according to your former lust and the times of your ignorance. Those are the two scriptures we talked about last week. Be sober. Keep your mind thinking soberly on things that are important. Be obedient. Those things, and the things that follow as I've listed there, that was the same one I had up there to show you where we're going. And I thought originally to speak on all these things and found that would be impossible. So I thought that I would take two of them at a time, which I did the last time I spoke, but today we're only going to do one. We want to talk about holiness. All these things, all this list that you see there are our privilege because we're hidden in Christ because of the work that God did through Christ on the cross for us. And he gives us all these privileges that he spoke of from verse 3 down through verse 12. And because of that, he says, wherefore? What kind of a life should we be living? A sober life, an obedient life. And then when he gets down to 14, as children of obedience, not fashion yourselves according to your former lust, which you did in your times of ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, be yourselves also holy in all manner of living, as it is written, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Like as he who called you is holy. Holiness, we've talked about holiness before. Holiness from the word hagios, which is two words, and gay. Gay being the earth, which literally means you're separated from the earth. You're marked out as a separate person. You're opposite from the world. That's holiness. The word indicates the display of the character of God, whose perfect attributes separate him from the world. Our God is a transcendent God. Our God created this world. He created this whole universe, but our God is transcendent. He is outside of everything he created. Our God is not in the world or part of the world. He created the world. He's totally separated from this world. That's holiness. He is not touched by anything in this world. He is a sovereign God, and he is holy. And he calls us to that holiness. Like as he who called you, He called us through his gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Unto the obtaining of the glory of Christ, he gives all that to us. To obtain unto the glory of Christ. And he that called you into that glory is holy. He called Israel out of the land of Egypt. He calls them into a wilderness where they have no outside influence. They're totally there under God. And God creates in Israel a new culture. A culture different from all the cultures of the world. A culture that is given to God. And he brings them in the wilderness down to Mount Sinai. And he says in Exodus 19:5, if you'll obey my voice indeed and keep my covenants, you shall be my own possession from among all the people, for all the world is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God calls Israel to be his own possession, a possession just for God. To do that, they have to be a holy nation. They're to be a kingdom of priests. And originally, they did that through the days of David and the days of Solomon. The whole world beat a path to hear them. They were the great light shining out of Jerusalem. And everybody that thought of them realized their God was Jehovah, the God of this universe. And they were a great beacon and a light that shined to all the world around them. But Solomon made idols in behalf of all of his foreign wives that he had married, and he took this nation from being a shining light to an idolatrous nation. From being holy, separated unto God, to being just like the world around them. And when they came down to being like the world, they were no longer of use for God's purpose, and God destroyed them. And God calls us, and he calls us to the same thing. In the very next chapter of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9, he says the same thing to Christians that he said to Israel in Exodus 19:5. He says in 2 Peter 2:9, you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You are an elect race. God chose us out of this world. He calls us out of the world. We're a royal priesthood, royalty. We have part in the ruling of this universe. Our Lord Jesus is sovereign. He sits on the throne. Ephesians 2:6 says we sit there with him. Through our prayers, we rule the nations. We're a royal priesthood. And a priest is the one that speaks the words of God and teaches Israel. And we teach the people. And they are go-between to bring sinners back to God. That's the work of priests. And to do that, he says, you're a holy nation. A holy nation separated from all the nations around us. We are different from all the nations around us. We are God's own possession. And he says all that. And then he says that, the purpose of all that, that ye may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what God does. He calls us out of this world just like he called Israel out of that. He brings us into Christ and makes our own culture. We're not the culture of the world. To the extent that we're different from the world is the extent that we're useful to God. We have a problem. Not only the denominational world, but we have a problem amongst some of our brethren who want to be like the other people. Don't want to be too different. And that's just what Israel did till God destroyed them. When we desire to be like the people around us, we no longer desire to be like God. And to the extent that we're like God is the extent that we are useful to God. That's the reason he says a scripture I guess I use every time I speak. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual or your reasonable worship. Be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. People never raise higher than the plane of the God they worship. When Solomon took Israel into adultery, they went down from the plane of the holy, almighty God to the plane of common people. When we desire to be like people, that's what happens. Psalms 115, Psalms 135 talk about the stupidity of idolatry. They have eyes that can't see, nose that can't smell, ears that can't hear, mouth that can't speak. They have hands that can't even dress themselves. They have feet that can't walk. They have to carry them. And those passages say, though, that make them are just like them. You don't get higher than the God you worship. The world around us is buried in worldliness, in worldly things, in greed, in lust. And they get no higher than that. God calls us to be like God, to worship God. Israel was called to be a total separate culture. We too are called to be a total separate culture. We need to be different from those around us to be useful to God. Speaking of God's holiness, He is totally holy. He is separated from this world. He created it, but He's not in this world. He's separate from the world. Speaking of holiness, Linsky, in his talk about God, he says, God is holy in that He loves all that is pure and good and hates, abominates, that's spelled wrong, and punishes all that is sinful. God is the source of holiness. Therefore, all that would commune with God must also be holy. Without that communion with God, there will be no seeing of God. God is totally different. And we are to be just like God. Remember Romans 12, 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And Hebrews 12, 14 tells us to follow after peace with all men and the sanctification. The sanctification, that's holiness. And the sanctification which without which no man will see God. God calls us out of this world. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. He quotes Jeremiah and Isaiah, both of them in this passage. He says, come ye out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I'll receive you. I will be unto you a father and you'll be unto me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out from among them. As the transcendent God is holy, He calls us to that holiness, to be totally different. Act holy. It's an awesome word. holiness. But our holiness is the foundation. It is the bedrock of Christianity. And when we leave that holiness, that being different from the world, we're no longer useful to God. When we want to talk and think and dress and act like the world, we're no longer useful to God. Holy, for God is holy. It's an awesome word. It's free from all defilement. It's God's holiness. God's holiness manifests itself in a hatred of sin and a delight in righteousness and that which is holy. God's holiness. If you don't have Tony Evans' book named Our God is Awesome, you need to get it. Now, Tony Evans is a denominational man, and he says some things in there that's not right. But overall, he helps us to see a better vision of God. And as I've often said, the greatest pursuit of man in this life is to know God. If you know God, you'll do right. If you know Him, when we talk of God and His holiness, we're probably talking about the attribute of God which we understand the least. And the reason for that is that we are so different from God. We have walked around in the cesspools that are around us until when we talk about holiness, we don't know what we're talking about. God is holy. In his book, Evans says, the holiness of God is his intrinsic and transcendent purity, the standard of righteousness to which the whole universe must conform. Holiness is his intrinsic and transcendent purity. Our God is so pure, we can't even begin to understand it. God does not conform to man's standard. God is the standard. His word is the holy standard. And by that holy standard, all the world will be judged. Not by man's standards. It'll be judged by a pure, holy God, according to his pure, holy standard. Evil is evil only as it is measured by God's standard. Some people say, well, if all the evil in the world proves there's not a God, actually it proves there is a God. Because evil is only measured by God's standard. Man measures by man's standard. The holy God has a standard of holiness. But our nation has decreased to the point that we live in debauchery. We have taken God's holiness and brought it down to man's standard and his things that God says are an abomination. The things that God hates, we now say have to be honored. Homosexuality, lesbianism, transgender, same-sex marriage, murder of babies. And if you don't agree with that, you're wrong, according to man's standard. That we have been brought down to that cesspool of sin that God abominates. And why did that happen? because they deny God, the holiness of God, the holy standard of God, and establish their own standard, and man's standards can only go down. Holiness is at the center of God's attributes. Everything that God is, He is perfect in holiness. When we talk about all the characteristics and the attributes of God, you can't understand them without having a little bit of a grasp to the holiness of God. For all those are based on the foundation of God's holiness. Our God is the ruling, reigning God. Our God is sovereign God, but that sovereignty is a holy sovereignty. His omnipotence is holy omnipotence, holy omniscience, holy omnipresence, holy eternal life, holy grace, holy mercy. Everything of God is holy. That is the basis of everything. His holiness separates Him from His creation. Isaiah 6. In the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and His throne filled the temple, and above Him stood the seraphims, each having six wings. With two they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, with two they flew, and one cried unto the other, "Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts, and the whole world is full of His glory." And the foundation of the threshold shook at the voice of Him that spoke, and the temple was filled with smoke. Holiness. Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts. None other of His attributes, His love, His mercy, His grace, His ever love, His loving kindness, all of them is never repeated three times like that. Holiness is the foundation of God. And He calls us to that holiness. He goes on in Isaiah 57, in verse 15, He says, "Thus saith the high and the lifted up one who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place." With whom? With them of a contrite and humble spirit. God dwells. God is holy. He dwells in holiness. He is perfect in His holiness. Man in his degraded position has a hard time grasping holy. Holiness. We can't grasp a God of holiness. In 1 John 1, He says in verse 5, "This is the message we receive and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth's not in us." He is light, no darkness in Him. James 1 says it this way, verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, where there can be no variation, neither shadow cast with turning." Pure, holy light. God is so holy that He says to Moses, "A man can't see My face and live." When they come to Sinai and He calls them to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, He says, "You draw a line, and anything that crosses that line, kill him. Shoot him through or stone him, man or beast." And when He descends on that mountain, the mountain smokes and the flame goes up, and the people are terrified, and He hasn't even spoke yet. Moses said, "I exceedingly feared and trembled." We got to get a vision of God if we want to be serious about being Christians. And that holds true with Jesus. He'll say in 1 Timothy, Paul say in 1 Timothy 6, verse 15, says, who in its own time shall show who is the blessed one, the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality, who dwells in light unapproachable, which no man has seen nor can see, to whom be the honor and the power eternally. That's our Lord Jesus, total purity. God can't be influenced with sin. He's so separated from it. James 1:13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither he himself tempts any man. God is so separated in total purity. We need to understand this to get serious about being Christians. We need to understand that to God, sin is sin. Now, I make that statement because man likes to grade sin and puts it on different levels. We talk about bad sinners, the murderers, the adulterers, the fornicators, the rapists, the kidnappers, the thieves. They're bad sinners. But we have a lot of these other things that, well, they're not right, but we don't really want to call them sin. A little cheating in our business deals. A little white lies. You kids, you ever tell your mother a white lie? Little white lies? You cheat on your income tax. We break the laws of the land. But those are lesser things, right? Not in God's sight, they're not. In God's sight, there is no grade of evil. There's grades of punishment because not all evil receives the same punishment. But evil is evil. In God's sight, everything that doesn't amount to His holiness is evil. Whether it's that little white lie or the murder, they're the same to God because they violate His holiness. All sin is rebellion against a holy God. It's rebellion against a holy standard that God sets up. There's no degrees of evil to God. Evil is evil. We don't like that, but we better understand it. Because God is so removed from anything evil that any evil is just evil. It's all equal. It's like as if you were an astronaut and you were on the moon. We've all seen pictures of the world that they take in when they're in space, and the world's just that little bitty ball way off out yonder. That's in orbit. But if you were clear to the moon and you look back at the earth, what would you see? A little bitty ball. And a man standing on Cook Inlet at sea level and a man standing on Denali 20,000 feet high, from that point would be no difference. You could not see the relief in those two from that point. That's from the moon to the earth. Our God is plumb outside this whole universe. And when He looks down at evil, it's evil. We need to understand that because Christians oftentimes get the idea that we're better than those people around us. The only thing that makes us different from those people that's not in Christ is the fact that we obeyed by our faith the call of God and went into Christ who is our holiness. God is intrinsically and transcendently holy and pure. We are intrinsically evil. Our thoughts are evil, our words are evil, our actions are evil. And the only thing that makes us different is God and His work in Jesus on the cross for us. So that man believe in God and are disgusted with this world and change their mind and accept Jesus as Lord, are baptized into Christ, are hidden in Christ, who is our righteousness, who is our holiness. Only by being in Christ. We're no better than anybody around us. We're evil. Children raised in Christian families, I thank God for all you Christian parents who is raising children to hear God, to believe in God, and to obey God. But there's a danger there. Because kids raised in the church have friends out here or in school or people, and they use terrible language. They sneak off and they cheat on their tests. They sneak off and smoke and drink and look after marijuana and all the other drugs and all the smut that's in this world. And they think, wow, I'm not like that. I'm not really too bad. Listen. If you children has ever lied to your mother, in God's sight, you're just as bad as a murderer. You're evil. And the only way we can get away from being evil is to be in Christ. It's the only way evil man can be holy in God's sight. One glance, if we ever get one glance at God's holiness, it'll knock us clear to our knees. You get a look at God's holiness and it'll strike a fear in your heart that'll make you tremble. Just like Moses stood before Horeb. They stood there trembling in fear. We need to get serious about our holiness. We need to get serious about our Christianity. Holiness demands that God judge wickedness. From creation, God sends judgment on wickedness to get man's attention, to get him to come back to God. Where do you think the COVID-19 come from? It didn't come from China, it come from God. God's judging a wicked world. And we in America, as I've already said, we're out here waiting around in all the slop and the sewer pits of this world. And we wonder, why did God judge us? We of all people ought to understand that God loves us in His holy, holy love. He loves us enough. He didn't just annihilate us. He sends us warnings so that we can get our lives lined up. We need to see, open our eyes and see holiness. And God calls us to that holiness. The most amazing thing in this world is that it is a holy, holy, holy God sent His holy Son to receive all the punishment for unholy mankind. And He did it because of all of His holy love. Be yourselves holy in all manner of living. Need to hurry, my time's up. And I'm just half through. I told you I couldn't do holiness. I can't even do holiness in one class. Be ye yourselves also what? Just like God. Holy in all manner of living. Manner speaks of your conduct in life. It is an active life. This word translated manner speaks of the world as it is in its public relationship, in all manner of living, in all of our contact with outside people. Be holy. Be a holy people in the midst of a holy group of people like the church, in all of our relationship with outside man. Be very careful. Be conscious when we're amongst the people that we think holy thoughts. We speak holy words. And we have holy actions and holy attitudes, so that we can be the light that shines, that lets them see God through us. We need to follow the pattern of Christ. Ephesians 5:1. Be ye imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in holiness. Walk in love, even as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you, an offering and sacrifice to God for an odor of sweet smell. He says you walk just like Christ did. And Christ laid down his life to save souls. Guess where we're to be walking? Holy, holy, holy life, that the people around us see Christ in us. In all manner of living, remember, you're an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that we may show forth the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why we live. Holiness. Holiness. He calls us to activity. Holy living is more than what we don't do. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But Jesus came to this world and he didn't do, he violated none of that scripture. But you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the life of Jesus, it doesn't tell you what he didn't do, it tells you what he did do. And there's nobody as holy as Jesus. He is total holiness, and he is holy. When he feeds the poor, when he feeds the hungry, he's holy. When he gives light to the sight to the blind, he's holy. When he makes the deaf hear, he's holy. When he raises the dead from death. Christ's life was a holy life, and he lived that life in holy deeds, and he calls us to the same thing. By grace were you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works that no man should glory, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You're not saved by good works. Your good works can't save you, because all of our works are filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6 says. But you're saved and in Christ for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. He tells you in Titus 3, in verse 4, he says, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love towards man appeared, not in works of righteousness, which we did, but according to his own mercy, he saved us in the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Spirit, which he poured out on us richly in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, to the end that those that believe in God may be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. He repeats it in verse 14. Let our people maintain good works for uses, that they be not unfruitful. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The to be word I am is emphatic in the original language. For I myself am holy. How are we doing in our holiness? Have we slid from our holiness and need to repent and get back in walking in the steps of Jesus? If you've never been baptized into Christ, you have no possible way of holiness. And they that are not holy will not see God. If you have any needs, you need to come forward and make it right today. We need to get serious about our holiness and serve God while we stand and sing.